And we're live on the Touchdown and Tangents podcast. I'm Pete D. Camarillo.
I'm Kenneth Frank James Berry.
And it's now or never, Kenneth.
Yeah, kind of like when you go to the CSUN men's basketball game and you see the center for Cal Poly mash on two dudes. It was the most disrespectful dunk I've ever seen, and it was during Black History Month.
Wow, and so we're already starting the show off with a tangent, hence the name, Touchdowns and Tangents. If you've never listened to us before, this podcast is kind of like
when you finally hang out with your hood friends, but you realize it's best to keep them at an arm's length because, you know, you like smoking weed in your apartment and not having the police come over every day.
And my take on it is, it's kind of like, you know, not knowing that the future album's coming out tomorrow, but then finding out and your day just got a little bit better.
Yeah. How's it feel to know that I have to tell you that? You didn't know Future's album's coming out. Shame on you.
Anyways, and how so I digress.
How wicked. Wicked. I'm sorry.
Wow. Culture vulture. Anyways, this is, once again, the Touchdowns and Tangents podcast. You can find us on the Apple Music Store, Google Play, SoundCloud, Spreaker,
and SPREAKER.
Wherever else random internet content lives.
On Facebook, go like the page, listen to it.
Subscribe.
Every podcast.
Call us a bum. Whatever you need to do.
Come at me, bro. Please.
So, let's jump right into it without getting into
shout out to the ladies. I don't want to seem sexist.
Before Kenneth gets into another tangent, Kenny.
Yes.
I totally forgot that whole 2 hours of pre-work that we just did.
Wow. You're pathetic. Let's just start with, I don't know, the fact that today is like the day that you can actually sign people to franchise tags.
That's right. That's what we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
So, Kenneth, who's the prime target to get the franchise tag?
I'd have to say Le'Veon Bell. Because Eric Berry's not taking it again. And the Bengals aren't going to give it to Zeitler.
My whole thing with Le'Veon Bell is, I was going to say Leon Hall. Le'Veon Bell.
I might slap you, dog. That's like three GFEs.
Le'Veon Bell, I mean, he's definitely worth it. He's definitely the top, if not top three running backs in the NFL. But just with the, is that franchise going to start, like, retooling now? I mean, with Ben Roethlisberger's status up in the air, like,
I think they
and then there's to also the off-field things with Le'Veon. So, is it really a lock that they're going to franchise tag him?
Because they have to pay Antonio Brown.
Exactly.
So, and you're going to have to
but pay, at the same time, it's like,
you have to pay,
at least franchising Lawrence him gives you more time.
Yeah, because you have to pay Lawrence
so
Timmons, too.
So, either way, Le'Veon either plays himself into an even fatter payday next year, or replace him.
Or he just,
which has become the trend with running backs in the modern era. Look at LeSean McCoy.
Not running backs for Pittsburgh, though.
That's true. You're right about that.
Took them a while before they got Le'Veon Bell. And he'll be still anywhere else or any state that has, looser laws on marijuana consumption.
How about Eric Berry?
I think Eric Berry's going to get paid, finally. You can't keep doing this to this man.
Well, if the Chiefs franchise tag him, I believe he gets like an extra like 10 or 20%, something like that, on top of,
where it be cancer.
Exactly. And cancer. He's one of the best players at his position.
He plays out of position as a strong safety, but has free safety responsibilities. When he's actually a free safety, but he has to play strong safety.
So come to the Raiders.
Get picks. Yeah.
Who else? Kawan Short.
He's an obvious one. Kawan Short's going to demand a lot of money.
He's an obvious one just because the Panthers have so many other free agents they need to take care of in their cap situation.
Addison, yeah. That franchise is gutted, especially. And then, I mean, Calais Campbell's interesting because they have,
he's too old. He's like 31. I don't think they're gonna franchise tag him.
They can't let him play.
I think
let him walk.
They also have the, your boy, Chandler Jones.
That, yeah.
So I think he's more likely to get the franchise tag than anyone from that organization.
Yeah, Campbell's ranked.
Because on top of that, the Cardinals also have Tony Jefferson, who actually had a breakout year, who they have to re-sign.
Three of those guys are on the top 50 NFL free agents list. But another player who I think will get the franchise because you can't really afford to lose him, Melvin Ingram. From the Chargers. I mean,
I agree with you. The Chargers can't afford to lose them because they really have no pass rushers.
They just got Bosa. But then they do have Jerry Tauchu.
At the same time, it's like, if you're Ingram, you're already going to be playing in a new city. You might as well go somewhere else. And if you're the Chargers, he's basically had, what, a season and a half of being really good? Outside of that, he's been pretty average.
He was the sixth best edge defender in terms of Pro Football Focus.
Last year. And the year before, he had a great season, too.
Sack-wise. Yes. He had, like, what, 7 or 8 sacks this year? His overall grade in Pro Football Focus was 88.1.
And let's not forget, Gus Bradley's changing to a 4-3, so he's potentially changing positions. So you also have to factor that in.
He'll probably be a better player as just a down defensive end, because that's what he played in college. He was a defensive tackle and a defensive end.
Yeah, but it's like
Joey Bosa.
It's like Kanye said, once Muhammad starts wilding out, you can't just expect him to go back to Cassius.
First off, that's just a wrongly placed term, and I'm mad at you for that. Second, Joey, the strength, it would behoove them to switch to a 4-3.
I'm just saying you can't go back. You can't revert back to what he was in college because he's been playing defensive end for... I mean, he's been playing stand-up backer for, what, 3-4 seasons?
Yeah, but they move him all over, and he has all types of stunts, and he's strong enough and fast enough to play
But you're talking about playing a different...
He could be their three technique.
You're talking about playing different assignments, different mental processing, and you're also talking about coming from a different stance and a different point of leverage and point of attack.
You got like three dogs on that defense. You realize that, right? They have so much speed on that defense, it's better if they play a 4-3. You got Jatavis Brown, who the Raiders passed on. Should have got him. You have Perriman. Manti Te'o's trash, but whatever.
I really don't want to spend that much time on these Chargers, so let's move on.
Like, think about it. Melvin Ingram, Jerry Tauchu, Joey Bosa, all on the same defensive line. That's not a NASCAR package? Come on now. And Joey Bosa,
I'm just saying, it might make sense for them to let him go.
He's going to get paid more than anybody, dude. If he doesn't get hit with the franchise, or TJ Lang, Dante Hightower might even get hit with the franchise.
I don't think he should get hit with the franchise tag because New England never uses that. And then,
shoulder injuries.
How about Trumaine Johnson?
Nah. They're either going to pay him or he's going to walk. I don't think Nick Perry.
They can't afford to have the Rams cannot afford to have another corner leave. Their secondary is already depleted. They don't have any draft picks.
TJ McDonald might not even come back.
What? And they let Janoris Jenkins, right? That's his name?
Yep, they let Janoris Jenkins walk. What if Terrell Pryor gets... You can't give Terrell Pryor the franchise tag if you're Cleveland.
After one season?
Even though he literally...
They really have no other candidates for it, so you might as well use it.
He earned a 1,000-yard season.
You might as well use it, keep him from testing the open market. He already said he wants to be back with Cleveland and Hugh Jackson, so... I think even if he does get the franchise tender, I don't think he'll necessarily sign for just 1 year. I think they'll give him a long-term deal at some point.
What if they franchise Dontari Poe for the Chiefs?
I don't think that's going to happen, only because he's steadily declined over the past 2 seasons. And they have other priorities, as we've already mentioned, such as Eric Berry. So they got to figure out that situation first. I think that's the priority. And we've also seen over the past couple of years, shout out to Arroyo Franklin, a Pot Roast,
ouch,
Casey Hayward, Dan Williams.
Casey Hayward earned his money.
BJ Raji, nose tackles, don't last very long
Casey
in this
Hayward's
league.
Casey Hayward's a corner, by the way.
And Casey Hampton.
Pittsburgh.
Yes. Nose tackles.
What school did he play at?
Not sure.
Texas.
Anyways.
19th overall pick.
You're welcome. Anyways. Number one, nose tackles don't last long in this league because it's a hard position to play, number one. Number two, it's hard to maintain all that weight, and it's hard to take all that beating when you're that big and just fall over the place and hold your anchor, and it's hard on your joints. And it's just a hard position to play.
Especially when I'm going to let you rush the passer and say, you can only just get double teamed or triple teamed every play. Kind of sucks.
And eat up space.
And not get
and
paid.
And someone speaking from bitter experience.
Yeah, because I got injured my junior year. We were in a 4-3 playing every position on the defensive line, dog, except obviously right defensive end because I wasn't a speed rusher. But then when we switched to a 3-4, you're going to play nose. I'm like, I have one good leg, and you want me to play nose tackle? You're only nose tackle, but I could play defensive end too. You see me beat right tackles. Yeah, it happens.
So, which brings me back to my point, nose tackles don't get paid.
And there's a bunch of them in this draft.
And they'll probably get a 1 or 2 year deal, if anything.
A 3 year deal. A 4 year deal, 3 years actually worth some money.
1 year prorated.
Yeah. And then there's a bunch in the draft. There's guys you can draft. There's guys you drafted last year who are bulking up. So, I mean, But interesting, though, one guy in particular, if he gets it, Jonathan Cyprian, the strong safety for the Jacksonville Jaguars. He actually had a 98.8 run defense grade, which is like the highest that that website has ever given a safety for the 2016 season. So
you just said run defense and safety. If you're
strong safety,
if your safety is playing your best run defense, then your whole defense has an issue. So let's just put it that way.
So Miles Jack is a problem.
Did he even start last year?
Who knows, man. Who knows?
Anyway,
I don't trust UCLA defensive players.
Except for you really high on Jack coming out of the draft.
Yeah, but then the knee injury, and then I'm just like, But he should have stayed in college another
Backtracking.
Year. I said from the beginning he should have stayed in college another year. But you know who I wasn't wrong about?
Beep. Beep.
You know who I wasn't wrong about? Anthony Barr. Pretty much like 3/4 of your defense.
Kenny Clark balled out.
That's nice. Again, another nose tackle will be washed out in 5 years.
He's actually not a nose tackle, but all right.
They play. They play my nose too.
Anyways, let's move on.
Yeah.
So Kenny, I just forgot what I was going to say again. Wow.
Are you high,
bro? Horrible. Nope, not at all.
Jesus, man.
Wow, this might be the worst transition ever.
Worse than a Meek Mill mixtape?
I'm totally blanking out right now.
Wow, this is sad, bro.
Dead air?
I mean...
Oh! I know what I was going to say. Speaking, since we're already on the topic of free agency...
We're better than this, man.
We really are.
On my A game today.
You really are. Shout out to you.
Thank you.
Shout out to you. Anyways, so since we're on the topic of free agency, a bunch of dudes have been getting cut over the past couple of weeks. Might as well just make this the rapid fire segment.
In the arms of an angel.
So, for those of you who've never listened, this is a weekly segment, touchdown or turnover. It's really like buy or sell or any other of those generic sports talk games that we've been dominating and innovating since 2014 on the Touchdowns and Tangents podcast or Unnecessary Toughness, Fourth and Forever, whatever
Football
you want to
Friday.
Call it. Anyways.
Kenny,
Ryan Clady got cut by the Jets, they actually declined his option. So, Kenny, does Ryan Clady will start in the NFL for week one of 2017? Touchdown, tangent.
Touchdown,
turnover.
Touchdown. Sorry. There aren't many tackles better than him, even though he's had a lot of injuries. Don't forget, he was at one time considered to be better than Joe Thomas.
This is a turnover for me simply because if Ryan Clady starting that tackle in his age and injury status, then that's really an indicator of your offensive line development. Because, like you said, he was once great, but he's washed. So you need to, there needs to be some of these young cats who can actually get better and, you know, maintain the position. Shout out to Greg Robinson.
He's a guard, though.
He always was a guard, but
should never been playing left tackle. We know
they probably should have been playing him at right tackle. That's neither here or there. So let's digress from this.
You can play Clady at right tackle, but I'm just saying because there's not many good right tackles out there. Hashtag Kelvin Beachum.
Hashtag Russell Okung.
He's a left tackle.
That's a zone. Probably should be playing right tackle.
That's a zone scheme.
That's why I said that.
They don't. He can get away with it. They had Tyler Sombrano playing left tackle. We know how that worked out.
Another big name who got cut this week, Victor Cruz.
And Rashad Jennings, former Oakland Raider and Jacksonville Jaguar.
Pride of Liberty Rashad College. Jennings, I could either take him or leave him.
But he went to Liberty, which is...
Hence why I wasn't mad when he left.
Yeah.
So, Victor Cruz. Victor Cruz will have another season with more than 50 catches. Touchdown or turnover?
That's a good one, because he only had 37 this year, but it was for 585 yards and one touchdown. So, I would
playing
say,
really as a fourth receiver and missing a large chunk of the season.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, if he can stay healthy, it's a touchdown. The reason why he can't get 50 catches, he can still play. It's just that Giants situation was really messed up.
Well, Kenny, I'm going to say this is a turnover. Only because of something that you stated when you said, if he could stay healthy, and you're soft for, you know, hedging your bet.
Why
the
gunplay? Why you gotta bring gunplay and, you know, Taxstone is in jail. You know, Plaxico shot himself. Why you gotta bring gunplay? You know, Steve Smith got robbed when he played for the Giants. Why you gotta bring in gunplay? That's foul. That's wrong. You're foul for that.
Frisk.
Yeah, I just hit the button.
And I just said stop and frisk.
You're a terrible person. This is Trump's
shout out
America.
To
this is Trump's America
Robert
now.
Giuliani.
This is Trump's America now. No, I'm just kidding.
Anyways, before we got political, I was saying that this
Politico?
Is
a... I'm joking.
You mean like the
organization?
Oh yeah, I was gonna say
news organization.
I was gonna Politico? Say platform, but
platform call. Yeah, sure.
Anyways. I'm saying this is a turnover because, like you said, if he stays healthy, I'm not sure he could stay healthy. He's been really in the 2 and 3 receiver role the past couple years, and he's still been banged up. So if he goes somewhere where he has a little bit more expectations, he might not do as well. Unless, of course, he ends up with the New England Patriots and just takes all the bread away from those wide receivers and actually goes over 1,000 yards.
He so, was actually over 1,000 because Danny
Elliott. I kind of just hedged my bet, too. So
yeah, you did, Skip Bayless. You totally did. And
speaking of which, this podcast is like First Take meets the Trap House.
No, it's terrible. It's more like cold pizza meets a really bad Tinder lunch date that ends with ice cream.
I don't think anybody got that because I didn't get that.
Ice cream
so
is delicious.
So let's digress.
Tinder's cool.
Yes, I learned what Dicres means this week, hence why I'm using it.
Dicres?
Yeah.
Dicres?
Yeah.
Dicres.
Uh-huh. That's exactly what I said.
You said...
Yeah. Way to put me in a box. Just because I don't speak like you, Kenny, you're undermining my intelligence? Great.
You undermining...
Awesome.
You undermining...
What are you, our public school system? Let's continue.
School system actually failed me. I rose above it.
All right, Kenny, so do you want to moderate, or...
No, but you're talking as if you're high.
All right, so go ahead. Your turn. Give me a touchdown or a...
Because you went for like a cool 7 minutes, but yeah. All right, so...
Wow, now he has his time on the clock. This is breaking news. He's really on his A-game today,
breaking
folks.
News. I know.
He's literally on his A-game today, so shout out to Kenny.
I appreciate the sarcasm. But anyway, so...
At least you got a round of applause. One more?
That's true. I'm not about to...
Or cheers. I'm not sure which one that is. But and it's either cheers or a round of applause.
And now I got to unload a clip and shoot the club up. Okay. So...
Just really like that gun sound, huh?
I really do. I'm childish.
You sure you're not from Chicago?
My father's... Too soon? My father's from Chicago, actually. He's from the south side of Chicago. My mom's from East Oakland. Put it together. I'm a savage.
Is he a Kenyan diplomat?
No, he's not. Stupid. You're a terrible person, you jerk. All
right, go ahead.
You're full of Santorum. Go look up the word Santorum on...
You mean like Rick Santorum?
No, just Santorum. It'll horrify you. Everybody go look up the word Santorum on... what's it called?
Sportico?
No.
I just wanted to throw you for a rap. Since you've been making fun of my brain being fried this whole podcast.
I can't remember the name of that thing that everyone goes on to look up words. Urban Dictionary, there we go. Yeah, look up Santorum on Urban Dictionary, and that's Pete's performance today on the podcast. But anyway, so yeah, you're going to have to look that up too, because you don't even know I just insulted you.
No, I got it.
You don't know how I insulted
you. All right, continue.
So, Adrian Peterson tweeted...
Yeah, this is what we do, folks, on the Touchdown and Tangent show, and we have nothing to say. We really just go back and forth and talk smack about each other.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. At least me, anyway. I'm on 10 today. Pete's kind of just floundering, like Meek Mill's career. But, Adrian Peterson, he's been linked to the Cowboys, to the Giants. Pretty much he's leaving the Vikings. We can guess that. That's a summation. But touchdown to turnover, Adrian Peterson snubs his hometown Cowboys for the New York Giants.
Let's see. This is a touchdown for so many reasons, I can't even give you. First off, the Cowboys have Zeke, so I don't even think that's an option. Not to mention they got Alfred Morris and potentially Darren McFadden and, well, the other receiving back, he's a free agent, and I think McFadden's a free agent. Needless to say, the Cowboys already stacked that running back. They don't need AP. So why wouldn't AP go somewhere that already has a good defense? They're a playoff contender. They have a Super Bowl winning quarterback. They have a slew of receivers. And their offensive line is actually improved this past year. So yeah, the Giants make tons of sense. And yes, I just stole your take, Flo. So yeah, call me a culture vulture. Because I like to say yeah and talk choppy like this.
Are you done? Are you done, Kodak Black?
So you're not even going to acknowledge the fact that I just shaded you?
No, you just admit you're a culture vulture. You shaded yourself.
All right.
Especially with that Etch-a-Sketch hairline. But anyway. Yeah, say something. I got a fresh cut. Say something. Say something. Go ahead.
Finally.
Make something about hair. Make a joke about hairlines. Exactly. Anyway, okay, next one. So Kurt Warner said that he feels like there's four guys he campaigned for the Hall of Fame. Larry Fitzgerald, you feel like his first battle, he wouldn't have to really do much. Isaac Bruce, arguably deserves to be a Hall of Famer. 91 touchdowns, don't forget that, Pete. Torrey Holt, he felt like was another guy who would be in the Hall of Fame. But he said he would really pound the table for Anquan Boldin because he's every team that's got rid of him, he's been a number one receiver and been great. And he's been clutch his whole career. Oh, and to mention, he ran a 4.740 coming out of college. He's slower than all those dudes. And it's not even close. Now, to compare that to T.O. being snubbed out of the Hall of Fame, even though he's statistically the second greatest receiver of all time.
So what's the question?
I'm getting to it. I'm giving you context so you can answer it properly.
I think I know the context, so hurry up.
And the fact that Randy Moss is going to be up for the Hall of Fame next year, ipso facto, touchdown or turnover. From here on out, dudes aren't going to make the Hall of Fame for the simple fact that they were a controversial or bad teammate.
This is going to be a touchdown, and here's why. I think you already proved my point by giving your context of what Kurt Warner just said. Kurt Warner is in the Hall of Fame, so let's just get that off base.
Ouch.
Why is Kurt Warner in the Hall of Fame? Because, I don't know, maybe the four receivers he just named, Torrey Holt, Isaac Bruce, Anquan Boldin, and Larry Fitzgerald. Huh. Must be nice. Needless to say, Kurt Warner is also a pretty prominent analyst / media personality. And let's also factor in, yes, he does actually objectively have one of the best stories, maybe in NFL history, to go from grocery bags to the greatest show on turf, like everyone likes to cite. Yes, I know I sound hyper bitter right now, but basically what I'm saying is the Hall of Fame is a bunch of politics. We know this because A, all institutions in our American society are filled with politics. And B, just look at the Baseball Hall of Fame. And C, if it were really an indicator of talent, and don't get me wrong here, please do not send me death threats, but if it was really...
You already said Kendrick sucks. Somebody's probably...
If it was really a reflection of talent, forget the fact that Barry Bonds would be in the Baseball Hall of Fame. Darren Sharper would be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, which is coming up, which the NFL will have to deal with.
Statistically, he's a Hall of Famer. He has like 60 interceptions.
So...
And he won the Super Bowl.
With all that said, yes. The Pro Football Hall of Fame factors in how you treat the media, because guess what? Guys are still salty about the time you didn't give them an interview or the time that you called them out for writing something unpleasant about you.
Or they're also mad that they never could actually reach the heights of success you have, so the most they could do is learn how to write and just kiss a lot of tail.
Shout out to Kurt Warner.
Shout out to a lot of journalism majors graduating
college. Which Kurt Warner actually seems like a good dude. I'm sure he's very pleasant. He's the coach of a high school football team. I'm sure he's great at networking and talking to people. And
he has like 7 kids. Some of them
that might have helped him get into the Hall of Fame.
Wow. Okay. Some hatred there, man.
So let's go ahead and wrap this podcast up, since I know I had no energy until I all of a sudden bodied Kurt Warner for no reason.
You just don't like North Iowa football players. You hate the Arena League.
I just think, well...
You don't think Jake Gruden should be a head coach, do you?
I just think Plunkett and Flores should be in the Hall of Fame before Kurt Warner. So let's just leave it at that.
Hashtag racism, hashtag nepotism, hashtag...
Fanboy, Homer boy, hashtag Raider Nation, Raider Gang, Raider for Life, hashtag PD Camarillo, hashtag catch me on Twitter at Pete Certified. So
hashtag catch these Twitter fingers. Damn, that should have been the name of the show.
Since you like to turn your Twitter fingers into trigger fingers.
Yeah, but I can just kill
people. You can start this.
Good.
Rant series off.
I got a lot on my mind.
So go ahead, Kenny.
Okay.
Give us your unnecessary toughness rant. Yes, I just branded this segment. Go ahead.
It's what it should have been called. Finally, it deserves a spot on the thing, on the docket. FYI, I'm team Waka Flocka Flame over Gucci, for the simple fact that Gucci backstabbed a lot of people, mainly Waka's mom, who did put him on. Waka's mom actually put a lot of people on, especially French Montana's sorry self. But let's not get into that. Shout out to Deb. Anyway, so, shout out to Migos. God love the culture. God loves the culture, that's what I meant to say. Oh, but here's what really pisses me off. The Los Angeles Chargers actually are going to have the NFL's highest ticket prices. That is hilarious, seeing as how they're literally paying in a 30,000-seat stadium. My high school, Londo High School, I think maximum could fit maybe 5,000 people. And Londo High School's kind of small, field-wise. Like, so you're telling me, let's say a really big high school, like, I don't know, modern day, somewhere like modern... Bleh, bleh, I can't talk. Sorry. Notre Dame.
Worst rant ever.
Notre Dame, Sherman
Your rant is matching my whole podcast performance.
Not really. I'm too gassed up. Got too much sauce. I'm sorry. But seriously, though, how the hell... who do the Chargers think they are? Like, the Chargers... Like, when I think of this podcast, I think of the Chargers. The Chargers are like that chick who's like a washed up video vixen who has the audacity to go down to the All-Star game coming up, the NBA All-Star game, and really gonna act like you still run the territory. You don't. You never did. Like Gilbert Arenas said, move out the way and let these young hoes prosper. And no, that's not cussing. That's what he actually said. But seriously, like, this is ridiculous. If you really want to boycott the Chargers being in LA, here's my advice. Don't pay all this money to go to a Chargers game in Carson, I'd rather watch local high school football for way cheaper prices.
All right, so let me just say this. They are playing in a third of the size of any other NFL stadium, so that's called supply and demand. Either way, I really don't care about the Chargers, so I'm not going to waste my rant on them.
$192 a game. $192 a game.
What I do want to say, shout out to Chance for winning Best New Artist of the Year, as well as Best Performance. And didn't he win Best Rap Album as well?
Newcomer of the Year. And by the way, Alessia Cara should have got something.
All right, can I get into my rant?
I'm sorry. Please? I'm sorry. You should have talked about music.
With that said, the Grammys is a bigger abomination than this podcast, let's be honest. Because as great of an artist as Chance the Rapper is, and he's probably a top five rapper slash artist in the game right now, beyond that fact, he's already been in the game for about 5 years. So the fact that they awarded him the Best New Artist is really an indicator of how far removed the Grammys and whoever votes for those Grammys are from the hip hop and rap culture awards. And let's not forget the fact that they have to create these trivial categories such as, I don't know, Best Female Artist or Best Contemporary Pop Album or whatever the hell that means, whatever the hell it's called, just so that Solange and Beyonce can get something too, when really they probably deserve to win the Best Artist or Best Record of the Year flat out. Even though I wouldn't necessarily say that because Adele's album was hot, but that's a whole entirely different conversation, because either way you look at it, the fact of the matter is Drake winning anything for Hotline Bling is just straight out blasphemy. KB couldn't even say that kind of blasphemy. Needless to say, this is the Touchdowns and Tangents podcast. Today we hit you with a lot of football, a little bit of hip hop, and some smack talk. This is usually the trend for us. Catch us again next week, Thursdays at 8-ish. Despite rumors that we were going on a hiatus, we actually decided, this is actually a good time for us to close the gap on the competition, which we've been bodying since 2014. So you can catch us on Twitter, Facebook, SoundCloud, Speaker, Google Music Store, Apple Music Store, whatever they're calling it nowadays.
And soon to be Instagram.
He's at Ozo Grande, and I'm at Pete Certified.
And Taylor Swift sucks. Do it for the culture. Always do it for the culture. You'll never go wrong. But don't do it for free. Because, you know, seriously, like, people got bills to pay.
Even though we do this podcast for free from my room.
But we go get Jack in the Box afterwards. You see how it balances out?
So we thank you for listening. Hope you got a little bit of relief from your day, because this podcast is kind of like when you've been struggling to eat all month, but you finally get your financial aid check and you're like, I can buy myself new sneakers. And then you're walking around with fresh sneakers and life is just a little bit more comfortable.
And then you go and buy like $40 worth of weed, and then just decide to go to... I'm just joking. But let's be honest, it's the Valley. Come on. You're telling me you've never been at a... You've never been at an...